Welcome everybody back. As promised, we're going to learn a little bit of from the Haggadah this week. Does everybody have a Haggadah, first of all? If not, don't worry about it. I don't know how much we're going to read. I honestly don't know how much we're going to read. This past Shabbos, I said a Shir Haggadah in the Shul. I spoke about Chag Gadya, and I intended on presenting three interpretations of the Chag Gadya. I really presented 2 1/4. So I figured I would start today presenting the third, or what was the third then, but will be the first today. I'll expand a little more than I intended on doing on Motzei Shabbos. I'll add in some other things also. So if anybody was there, I think you were there, right? But so it'll still be new and fresh, fear not. Yeah. Is this table? No, I think you're okay on this table. Don't worry about it. Yeah. With the Haggadahs. So if you don't have a Haggadah, then I have... You know what? Why don't we pass these around anyway? This is the sheet that I used on Shabbos. So you can keep it anyway. It has the Chag Gadya on it. That's why it might be useful, you know, even if not. We're going to start with the... You guys all have. We're going to start with, you know, take these anyway, you might want to follow along. We're going to start with the interpretation of the Chasam Sofer, which is on the back of the sheet. And if you're going to try to follow along with me, I apologize because this is small Hebrew. It's what? So you read it? All right. Oh, but I didn't do so much Chasam Sofer on Shabbos. Yeah, a little bit. I have 20 more. So let's we'll pass these around, and we're gonna try to understand this song a little bit better. So we're gonna just start with the Chasam Sofer's approach, and we'll see where it takes us. Plenty of time. All right. So is everybody okay? I do have more. Yeah, somewhere over here. I put them over here. Here. Okay. There we go. Do we need a bunch more? Oh, that's it? 2 or 3. Okay, here we go. Here's the whole stack. Let's just put these out. There's a lot of Hebrew. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's also small Hebrew. It's not really... All right. But let's get going. So we sing this song. I spoke on Shabbos. I'm not going to do it now. About origins of the song, where it comes from, where we first find it. Oh, we're going to assume for our purposes right now that we sing the Chag Gadya at the very end of our Seder. And in some homes, it's more, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, it's more dramatic and paid attention to than in other homes. In some places, it's sort of just like, let's finish already, I'm done, you know, it's late, and everyone waits for it. Everyone waits, it's like a big thing, yeah. All right, so some people have different tunes. Right, exactly right. So I don't know, okay, all right, but... we're going to study it a little bit and try to understand a little bit what it all means and what it's doing at the end of our Haggadah. We're going to learn, like I said today, the interpretation of the Chasam Sofer. There are many in interpretation. We'll see if we have time. I doubt it. We'll probably just learn the Chasam Sofer. That's my feeling. But let's start. The Chasam Sofer's understanding. By the way, does everyone have the Haggadah in front of them? We should read like we always do. I don't know why I thought this would be different. We should read the Chag Gadya first, just in case anyone's not familiar with it, and we'll see what it all means, and then we'll move backwards and try to understand the deeper understanding that the Chasam Sofer presents us with. Okay, I've been talking for a number of minutes, and it's about time that we start learning. So I'm just reading Chag Gadya right now. Right, we read Chag Gadya, Chag Gadya, Dizaben Abba Bisra Izuze, Chag Gadya, Chag Gadya, Chag Gadya is the one kid. Right, kid being animal, right? The one kid, not child, right? Which father bought with 2 zuz, a certain amount of money. You see how this song is structured. It repeats again, Chag Gadya. So I'm going to not read all of the repetitions when I move through it now the first time. V'asa shun ravachol gadya, but then a cat came, and the cat ate the kid, which father had bought with 2 zuz, just one kid. Vasa kalba v'nashak l'shunra, but then a dog came, and a dog bit the cat, the akhla l'gadja, the cat which ate the kid, and I'm not going to read all the repetitions. Vasa chutra, but then along came a stick, the hika la kalva, and the stick hit the dog. But then, va'asa nura, along came a fire, the sarap l'chutra, and the fire burnt the stick which hit the dog which ate the cat. Everyone's following. The dog which bit the cat which ate the kid which father had bought with two zuz. Va'asa maya v'chava l'nura, a water came and extinguished the fire. Va'asa sura v'shasa l'maya, v'asa sora, sorry, I said sura on Shabbos and somebody corrected me. V'asa sora v'shasa l'maya, and an ox came and drank the water. V'asa hashoche v'shachat l'sora, and then is there a terminology, a profession of someone who slaughters? Is a slaughterer. It's a slaughterer, right? Yeah. So the slaughterer comes and the shochet comes. It's a weird English word. I don't know why. It's a weird English word. So the shochet comes and he slaughters the ox. The asa malach hamaves v'shachat l'shochet. And then the malach hamaves comes and he kills the shochet. The asa kadosh baruch hu v'shachat l'malach hamaves. And then God comes and he kills the malach hamaves who had slaughtered the slaughterer, who had slaughtered the ox, who had drank in the water, who had extinguished the fire, which had burnt the stick, which hit the dog, which ate the cat, I'm sorry, which bit the cat, which ate the kid, which father had bought with two zuz, just one kid. There's only Chad Gadya. So as you see, this is a very odd song. And if we've given time to think about what it means, we've probably come to confusion, unless we began reading the words of the Rishonim and the Achronim and how they understand them. So let's start with the opinion. Oh, I put this in already. Let's start with the opinion of the Chasam Sofer and how he understands it. So Chasam Sofer was bothered by one main question. The main question which began the Chasam Sofer and his interpretation is, why is this paragraph written in Aramaic? That's what really bothered the Chasam Sofer. The entire Haggadah, most of the Haggadah is written in Hebrew. A large majority of the Haggadah is in Hebrew. In fact, if you go through the entire Haggadah, you'll find two paragraphs that are written in Aramaic. One is the Chad Gadya, and the other is Halach Ma'anya. And that's where the Chasam Sofer begins. And the Chasam Sofer wonders why it is that the Chad Gadya is written in Aramaic. The truth is that we have to start with asking the first question. Why is Halach Ma'anya written in Aramaic? So this is a question that is not new. This is a question that's been posed, by the way. Halach Ma'anya is the very beginning of Magid, right? We start the Seder, we do Kadesh, then we wash our hands, Orchatz, Karpas, right? Yachatz, we split the Matzah, and then Magid. And when Magid is the bulk of the Seder, and when we start Magid, we start with Halach Ma'anya. We should just know some people had a Nusach of Kihalach Ma'anya, as opposed to Halach Ma'anya, but Kihalach Ma'anya, it's like the bread of affliction. Okay, throwing it out there. You find different things. But we start with Halach Ma'anya. And so why is Halach Ma'anya written in Aramaic? So here you actually find a number of different answers. This is a question which bothered the Rishonim and Nachonim. Why it is the Halach Ma'anya? So anybody know, by the way? Why is Halach, not what the Chasam Sofer says, because anybody only knows that because I told you on Shabbos. But why, in general, before I said anything on Shabbos, why is Halach Ma'anya written in Aramaic? This is not a question that we ever learned in grade school. I remember when I was in Yeshiva of North Jersey, I should throw this out, by the way. When I was in Yeshiva of North Jersey, I think in fourth or fifth grade, I don't remember. I was either in fourth grade with Rabbi Reshevsky or in fifth grade with Rabbi Adler. And I can't remember now, I really can't. It's bothering me right now. I'm trying to remember when I got this Haggadah, but I can't remember. And the school made us purchase this Haggadah. Everybody in the class purchased it. And I don't remember how my parents felt about that at the time, but I certainly had no feelings about it at the time. And it's actually funny for me to open it up and like look at my penmanship and my awful spelling on the, you know, like the notes that I have written on the side and the things that I learned back then. But this Haggadah, it's invaluable to me now. I don't know. I use it all the time, every year. It was a Reshevsky, yeah? Oh, yeah? Oh, Ellie has one also? Yeah? So it could be, it's one of those grades, I don't remember. It's called Migdal Eder, and it's like a Mikros Gedolos. If you don't mind the tiny little Hebrew, and, it has a ton. It just has a ton. I use it every year. This is like the, I don't use it at the Seder because it doesn't stay open nicely enough to use it. So you have to like hold it and it gets complicated. I have Agada with a spiral binding that I use at the Seder because the pages are stay open better. But I use it in preparing every single year. And I have here highlighted from when I was in fourth grade, or we're assuming fourth grade. Remember, that's how I know when what I learned in fourth grade, because in fourth grade, I guess whoever it was, fourth grade, fifth grade, I don't remember. They made us use a highlighter to highlight the stuff that we learned. So I know what I learned back then, and I now have a little bit of a different system of marking things off. But I have highlighted from when I was in the fourth or the fifth grade from the Kovo. And the Kovo asks, why is it that we say Halach Ma'anya in Aramaic? And the Kovo writes, V'hiskinu ha-mamar hazeh b'loshon Aramis, and we learned this statement in Aramaic. They taught this paragraph. This paragraph was instituted to be said in Aramaic. Today, sheyavinu, so that everybody should understand it. Shehayu misafrim umidabrim b'loshon Aramis, because the spoken language at the time was Aramaic. That's what people understood. So if you wanted to, I mean, well, what does the paragraph of Halach Ma'anya say, right? Halach Ma'anya diachalu avasan bi'arad mitzrayim. This is the bread of affliction which our fathers ate when they were in the land of Egypt. Exact translation, I don't know. Kol dichrin yese v'yechol, kol ditzrin yese v'yifta. Let anybody who is hungry to come here and eat. Let anybody who needs, kol ditzrin, anyone who needs, Yay, say the Yitzhak, come join us for the Pesach. Yitzhak, for the Pesach meals. Hashata Hachla, this year we are here. Lishana Abba, Biara, the Yisrael. Next year we'll be in Eretz Yisrael. Hashata Avdi, this year we're slaves. Lishana Abba, B'nei Cholin. Before we even get to the, one second. All right. So the Kovo writes, one thing at a time. The Kovo writes that we said this paragraph in Aramaic said everybody should understand. It was a spoken language. I mean, listen, after all, if we're inviting people to come join us, we have to make sure that they understand that we're inviting them to come join us, right? If you speak to somebody and they don't understand what you're saying, it doesn't matter, you know, how altruistic your intentions are. If the person who you're attempting to contact doesn't know what you mean or doesn't understand what you're saying, then you're not going to be able to help them. You know, I had this recently. Somebody in Washington Heights, when I was in YU, and this person started asking me, I think they were asking me for directions. I'm not positive because they spoke only Spanish, and I speak English and Hebrew. I'm bilingual, but not Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. And so I was trying to communicate to this fellow, you know, I was trying to help him. And he didn't know what I was saying. I didn't know what he was saying. Eventually, I took him to somebody else. You know, I found somebody on the street who spoke a little bit of English. And they could take the try to help person who obviously wasn't from the Heights. And was trying to find a bus, I think. I'm not positive, so I'll be honest with you. But the point is that if you want to communicate with someone else, you need to communicate in language which they understand. So the Kovo writes that Halach Ma'anya, you're inviting people in from the outside, so you have to speak the language that's spoken on the street. That's what the Kovo writes. The truth is, though, that Halach Ma'anya is a difficult paragraph to understand. I know I said we were going to talk about Chagaga, but just a minute about Halach Ma'anya. There's three sentences in Halach Ma'anya, right? Halach Ma'anya is made up of three sentences. The first, Halach Ma'anya diachalu av son of Yaradim Mitzrayim. This is the bread of affliction which our forefathers ate when they were in the land of Mitzrayim. The second, I guess this might be two sentences, but I'll group them together. Kol dichrin yeseh v'yechol, kol ditzrich yeseh v'yipsach. Anybody who needs, come eat. Anybody who, anybody come join us for our Pesach Seder, two. Three, Hashata Hacha, now we're here, Lashana Habab Yarad Yisrael, I guess these could also be two sentences, but I will combine them again, right? We are here, next year we'll be in Eretz Yisrael, now Hashata Avdi, Lashana Habab Bnei Chorin, now we're slaves, next year we'll be free people. What is this? Three sentences, what do they have to do with each other? No? This is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. Anybody who needs, come. What? This year we're here, next year we'll be in Eretz Yisrael. If I had to ask you, let's do another. Alright, I'm talking about grade school, third, fourth, fifth grade, right? Let's do a third grade assignment, alright? What is the topic sentence of this paragraph? So I don't know what I would write. If you ask me, what is the topic sentence of this paragraph, I don't know what I would respond. There are three different things in this paragraph, well, seemingly unconnected. What is this paragraph about? Holach ma'anya. What is this paragraph about? So there are a number of approaches. I will present just one. The chida. It's all in here. This is fantastic Haggadah. The chida wrote a perush on the Haggadah called Simchas HaRegel. And so the chida has the following interpretation. There's a pasuk that we learn in Megillas Eicha. Megillas Eicha, we learn that Golsa Yehuda Meoni, that literally translated Golsa Yehuda Meoni, the Jews were exiled Meoni. So Oni means affliction. It comes from the Shoresh, right? Affliction, right? So the Chazal apparently, I didn't look up these Chazal. I'm taking the Chida's word for it. I didn't look it up. Chazal apparently darshan that Golsa Yehuda went into Golos Meoni. Because of Oni. What is because of Oni? Usually you understand we went into affliction, we went into Gullus with affliction. We were suffering, we went into Gullus. But Chazal apparently, Dar Gosa Yehuda may Oni. The Jews went into Gullus because of Oni. Al Shalo Kimu Lechem Oni. That the Jews went into Gullus, Al Shalo Kimu Lechem Oni. Because they did not keep the bread of affliction. They were not careful in having matzah, maybe in keeping chametz in matzah, I don't know. But Golsa Yehuda Meoni, Asher Lo Kimu Lechem Oni. But then there's a second statement of Chazal, or another interpretation. Golsa Yehuda Meoni, Al Shebitlu Mehaaniim Hatzedaka VaHamaisos. Meoni from the Shoresh Ani, not from the Shoresh of Inui, but from the Shoresh of poor. Golsa Yehuda Meoni, the Jews went into Galus because they didn't help the poor, because they didn't give tzedakah, because they didn't give meiser. And so says the chida, holach ma'anya, this is the bread of affliction, the bread that they ate, nikaimim mitzvahs lechem oni. We are actively keeping matzah. We are keeping holach ma'anya. This is the matzah that we're eating. We're keeping the mitzvah of matzah. And then we make a second statement. Kol dichvin, yesev yecho. Anybody who doesn't have, come join us. Anu mekaimim mitzvah hatzdaka. We are also keeping the mitzvah of tzedaka. And if that is the case, if we are effectively making up for what Chazal saw as what caused the Jews to go into Golus, if Golsa Yehuda Meoni, if we went into Golus because we didn't keep matzah and we didn't help the poor, so then Halach Ma'anya here, look, we have matzah. Kol Dichvin Yesen Yecho, and I'm giving tzedakah. If that's the case, so then Hashata Hacha, this year we may be here in Golus, but L'shana Haba, the Arad Yisrael. If I'm making up for the mistakes that Chazal saw put the Jewish people into Golus in the first place, then we can expect with confidence to be returned to Yerushalayim at the time. Hashata Avdi, now we might be slaves, but if I can make up for the Averos of the past, then L'shana Haba B'nei Chorin, the next year certainly we can have confidence that will be free people. It's a beautiful commentary of the Chida. So if I ask you now, what is the topic sentence of Halach Ma'anya, it's very interesting. The topic sentence of the Chida of Halach, or the topic in general, I don't know if there's a topic sentence still, but the topic of Halach Ma'anya is to make up, is to, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. There's a word for make up. Atone? Okay, not the word I was thinking of, but I'll take it. Atone. For the Averos which caused Golus in the first place. That if Chazal saw two factors leading the Jews into Golus, that they didn't keep matzah and that they didn't give tzedakah, so then we make up for it right now. We attempt to make sure that everybody has matzah, included in that the mitzvah of tzedakah. It's a beautiful idea that the Chida says. It gives clarity to the paragraph of Halach Ma'anya. The truth is that the Chida is not alone in this line of interpretation. There's a Chasam Sofer here in the beginning of the Haggadah, and the Chasam Sofer asks the following question. The Chasam Sofer says, if Halach Ma'anya Di'achalu Avasana Biyara De Mitzrayim, He says, listen to this question that he asked. It's a striking question, and that's why it really caught my attention. He says, Yesh lefarish, achasha anachnu ata bagalus. Thank God life is okay for us right now. But we're sitting here in Gullus. We're sitting here in Gullus. So if that's the case, listen to this. It caught me. It's striking. Mahir vachnu b'yitzias Mitzrayim va'anachnu bagola. Mahir vachnu b'yitzias Mitzrayim va'anachnu bagola. What have we gained? They were in Gullus in Mitzrayim. We're in Gullus here. What have we gained? So the truth is, the Gullus that we have here is not exactly the Gullus that we had in Mitzrayim. And we'll read in the Haggadah, I'm sure the Chasam Sofer knew, that we'll read in the Haggadah the whole list of Dayenu, right? Ilu Tzionu mi Mitzrayim v'lo asaba hem shefatim, Ilu asaba hem shefatim v'lo asaba Eloheim, Ilu asaba hem shefatim v'lo haragis v'charim, alright, whatever, I don't remember, alright, we can look it up. A whole list of things that had, this and that. We gained a lot of things. I don't think that's what he means, Mahir Vachnu. We can list things that we gained. By the way, while I'm talking about things that we gained, I was just reading some, what was I just reading? What was it? It was a psychology research, and it was talking about It was talking about being cognizant of things that you feel that you've gained and that you're thankful for, and the effects that it has on long term well being. Apparently, just like keeping a cognitive I don't remember. But all right. I'll owe it to you. I'll bring the research one time. But it's fairly well documented that just keeping track, not even like every day, like I don't know, weekly, by whatever it is, of something that's going well, things that you're thankful for. It's very helpful. So the Chasam Sofer asks like a sort of a meta question like that. Yeah, obviously I can go through and find things that are good and that I'm happy for and that I'm thankful for, but sof kol sof, when all is said and done, we're still in Gullus. We're still in Gullus, so Mayir Vachnu. What have we gained with all of Yitzias Mitzrayim? And the Chasam Sofer says something very interesting. He says, no, there's a big difference between the Gullus Mitzrayim and the Gullus that we're in now. We could probably list a lot of differences, but what the Chasam Sofer says, and in my mind, it places the Chasam Sofer in line with the Chidah. The Chasam Sofer says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu, Va'avadun v'inu osam arba meyos shana. Hashem promised Avraham Avinu that the Jewish people would be in Gullus Mitzrayim for 400 years. Chasam Sofer says, you know what that means? It means that regardless of what the Jewish people did in Mitzrayim, it didn't matter. God promised Avraham Avinu that there would be a certain amount of Gullus. The Jews, to a certain extent, were powerless in affecting the Geulas Mitzrayim. The Geulas Mitzrayim would come on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to bring the Geulas Mitzrayim regardless of what the Jewish people did. Chasam Sofer says, but our Gullus is not like that. Our Gullus is not like that. Our Gullus does not have a predetermined time limit, a minimum amount of time that we need to be in Gullus. Our Gullus could end today, if we wanted it to end today. If we dedicated all of our energies, and I say we, I don't mean we sitting in this room only, I mean we, the collective Jewish people, dedicated all of our energies to our Avodas Hashem and to keeping God's commandments and God's mitzvot, then God would bring the Geula today. Like David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ki hu Eloheinu va'anachnu am ma'aritzon v'tzon yado, we will be God's flock, He will lead us around Hayom. He'll do it today, in Bikolo Tishmon. If we listen to His voice, if we heed His commandments. So Chasam Sofer says that our Gullus is much different than the Gullus Mitzrayim, because we can bring the Geula today if we follow in God's commandments. So do you know what we do? We reach out and we do the mitzvah of tzedakah. We invite other people to join in our Seder. We ask ourselves, Halach Ma'anya, if I'm sitting at a Seder in Gullus, so what have I gained? Chasam Sofer says, I've gained the ability to affect the outcome. So we immediately begin our Seder by attempting to affect that outcome. By doing more mitzvos, by doing more tzedakah, by doing more chesed, by reaching out and heeding God's command. So Chasam Sofer, very, very much like Chida, doesn't quote Chida, I don't know if he saw the Chida, but he understands the Halach Ma'anya paragraph in very much the same fashion. That I say, Halach Ma'anya, I'm still sitting in Gullus, what can I do? How can I fix it? Kol dichven yesei v'yecho. Kol ditzrich yesei v'yipsach. Let me do more mitzvahs. Let me do more chesed. Let me invite people in. And if I'm successful in heeding God's commands, then indeed, hashata hacha, but l'shana haba v'yara di Yisrael. And it may be that hashata avdi, but it will be l'shana haba b'nei chorin. A beautiful paragraph, according to the Chidah and according to the Chasam Sofer. In truth, though, I saw something else that's very interesting. In here, it has a parish called Nachal Kedumim. I don't know who wrote it. I looked in the front, you know, in the beginning of most books, when you have things like this with multiple perushim, so they have a list of all of the perushim and who wrote them. So I looked. I read this just this morning, this Nachal Kedumim. It's not a paragraph that I've seen before. I read it just this morning. So I looked in the front. I was interested who wrote it. So it just says here, where did it go? It was in the beginning. Oh, here it is. Perish Nachal Kedumim Ligon Kadmon Zal. To an early stage. I don't know who that is. If anybody knows, I'm throwing this out there. If anybody knows who wrote the Perish Nachal Kedumim, I'd be interested in knowing who it is. But, in any event, so he writes a little bit differently. It's a little bit different. It's an important difference. But he writes that the topic sentence, he writes, the topic sentence of the paragraph is Kol dichven yesei v'yecho, kol ditzrich yesei v'yipsach. That anybody who needs, come join our Seder. So what does that have to do with halach ma'anya? What does that have to do with hashata hacha l'shana haba b'yardis? What does that have to do with things? In fact, he asks the following question. It's actually almost counterproductive. You want to invite a poor fellow into your meal. So what do you say? Oh, we're eating poor bread also. Come on, you can join us. It's not like we're having a feast or anything like that. Halach ma'anya! Come on, this is poor people's food. Come on, you can join us. Don't worry about it. What is? It's not nice. It's not nice at all. So what? How do you understand this? What does it make sense? So, yeah, okay, I'm listening. Tell me what the Nachal Kedumim says. You're about to say it. It's obvious. I framed it for you properly. Okay, ooh, so I'll tell you what he says, maybe you'll like this also. I understand what he's saying. He says a little bit different. He says that you're trying to comfort the poor person. Halach ma'anya, do you love somebody? What, do you think we were always like this? What, do you think we were made in places where we can invite people and have people over? Things go in cycles. Sometimes you have bad luck. Sometimes things don't, bad luck in quotation. Sometimes things don't work out for you. Halach ma'anya di'achu avasam bi'aradim etzrayim. Ooh, our ancestors were nothing from nothing. Slaves in Egypt. Come, join us. Sit. We understand where you're coming from. We feel your pain. We know what it's like. And trust us, because we're here now inviting you. Hashata hacha l'shana haba bi'aradim etzrayim. Hashata we may be avdi l'shana haba b'nei chorin. Could be all different. Could all change around. A paragraph of comfort, the Nachal Kedumim writes. Not like I initially framed it. Almost the exact opposite. But the idea is reaching out. The idea is tzedakah. That's how he understands it. It's not exactly the same. Understand? It's not exactly the same as the Chasam Sofer and the Chidah. The focus is different, but the concepts are similar. In fact, Chazal tell us that when you give tzedakah, so, what is it? 5 and 6, I think. I'm pretty certain. I should have looked this up. I'm pretty certain though. The Chazal say that you can get 5 brachos for giving tzedakah, but you can get 6 brachos for giving tzedakah, not just plus one, 6 different brachos, a total of 11, for giving tzedakah with a smile and a kind word. That part of giving tzedakah is not only giving charity monetarily, but also uplifting and helping the person who, you know, emotionally and psychologically, the person who you're dealing with. And so according to Nachal Kedumim, that's the function of this paragraph of Halach Ma'anya. So we've seen a fascinating mahalach in the paragraph of Halach Ma'anya, right? And we understand now, like the Kolbo said initially, that if you're inviting people in, you have to speak in the language in which they would understand. But it doesn't really help us for Chagadya. Chagadya doesn't have in it an invitation to other people to join us. Chag Gadyah is not speaking to people on the street who we don't know. Chag Gadyah is about, I don't know what it's about, but it's to our people at our Seder. It's speaking to our families. the people who presumably have gone through the entire Haggadah, which is in Hebrew. And so Chasam Sofer was troubled and he was bothered. I understand maybe why Halach Ma'anya is written in Aramaic. But why is it that Chagadya is written in Aramaic? And so, by the way, this approach on Chagadya is new for me. We spoke about Chagadya. We spoke about Halach Ma'anya last year, if you recall. Yeah? We spoke about Halach Ma'anya last year. We spoke about sharing and being free people and being representative of freedom, your ability to share and give to others, that people with slave mentality keep everything for themselves. They don't share and give to anybody else. Okay, whatever. You can get the CD or is it on? I don't know if it's on the computer, but you can get the CD from last year. We had fun last year also. So why is it? But this is a new approach, and I like it very much. But why is it that the Chagadya is written in Aramaic, and so Chasam Sofer has a pshat? Let me tell you, this is a beautiful idea, a beautiful, beautiful idea. And the Chasam Sofer starts with the Halach Ma'anya. And he writes, he's quoting from another Haggadah about Maaseh Hashem. Maaseh Hashem, I didn't even attempt to find out who wrote it, and for that I apologize, but the Chasam Sofer quotes. So the Chasam Sofer writes, Ke'holach ma'anya, shezehu ha-mamar, and I read this small part on Shabbos, so this is Chazara, so it's Chazara for me too, so don't feel bad. Shezehu ha-mamar, that this paragraph, Yisodo achar shegalu me'eretz Yisrael. That this paragraph of Halach Ma'anya he's talking about now, Halach Ma'anya, this paragraph of Halach Ma'anya has its roots, has its yisod in Golos. When the Jews first were exiled from Eretz Yisrael, Upa Pesach rishon sheyashvu b'chutz la'aretz l'sader seder shel Pesach zachru yimeon yom ishtakid yashvu b'chavura achas ואכלו הפסח בהלל והודות להשם ואז סמכו השמיים והארץ. They recalled when they sat in Yerushalayim and they had aliyah l'regel and they sat and they ate the korban Pesach and they ate the korban Pesach b'chabura. You used to have to register for the korban Pesach. It's a Mishnah that we say every day in korbanos. We say every day in korbanos if you say the paragraph of Ezehu Zavachim. It's a parak of Mishnayos from Masechta Zvachim. I'm tempted to say the fourth parak, but I may be totally making that up. It's a parak of, I don't remember which parak it is. It's a parak of Mishnayos in Zvachim that we say every morning as part of our korbanos. And by the way, why do we say every morning as part of our korbanos? Just throw out there. Korbanos every morning. There's two different parts of korbanos that we say every morning. Oh, did I hear that right? Fantastic. So it's actually not right, but it is right. No, it's not right, but it is right. Right. No, it's not right, and it is right. There's two different sections of korbanos, and there's two different reasons why we say them. There's two different sections of korbanos, and two different reasons why we say them. The first part of korbanos is made up of, if you open a siddur, I should have, oh, I wasn't planning on saying this, otherwise I'd have had a siddur for everybody, but whatever. If you open up a siddur and you look at korbanos, you'll see that the beginning part of korbanos, it'll say korbanos and then it'll be psukim mostly. It'll be mostly the psukim, excerpts explaining the different procedures of the different korbanos, of the korban tamid shel shachar, of the ketores, before that the kohen washing his hands and the kior. It's psukim. And then after the psukim, you'll have some mishnayos and brisos, including, that explain and expound upon the avoda of the korbanos. That's the two basic parts of the korbanos. And in reality, there's two different reasons why we say them. One is, like you said, Betty, exactly right. One of the reasons why we say korbanos is because Chazal tell us that now that we no longer have korbanos, so we learn the Torah portions that relate to korbanos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu in the Gemara Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph. Yeah, that's my story. That's what I'm going with. The Gemara in Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph. God says to God has conversation with Avraham Avinu that Avraham Avinu says to God, "Bameida, right? How do I know that my children will inherit Eretz Yisrael and they'll stay there?" And God says, because they'll have the avodas ha-korbanos. They'll have the korbanos, they'll bring korbanos, will always be united. And Avram says to God, you have to understand this, if we had time really to learn this. in the end, God says to Avraham Avinu that that when you have no more korbanos, they'll learn the paragraphs of korbanos, and I'll treat it as though they brought the korbanos. So that's one of the ideas that we have korbanos. Another idea that we have korbanos, Tosfos writes in Kiddushin and Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, that we have korbanos because we have to learn every day. We have to learn. The Gemara there tells us that you have to learn Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. So we have Sukkim, Mishnayos, and Brisos, Gemaros, as part of our davening to ensure that that we have learning every single day. So there's two different reasons, and there's differences between those two reasons. We're not going to get into them right now. But we say the korbanos every single morning. And so there's a Mishnah that we say every single morning in Ezehu Mikoman Shotzvachim, which tells us that the korban Pesach can only be eaten l'minuyo. It's a Mishnah we say, it's not only a Mishnah, by the way, it comes from the Torah, not only, but it's a Mishnah we say every day. That's why I reference the Mishnah. That korban Pesach is only eaten by the people who are registered. You have to register on the korban Pesach. So they remembered that they used to sit in the Beis HaMikdash in their registered set assigned groups, and they ate the korban Pesach with Hallel and Shira, Ve'ata, and now Kina. And now we have lamentations. Now we're sitting in the Golos. Can you imagine, by the way, I said this on Shabbos because it struck me and it strikes me now. Can you imagine, if we don't feel this because we don't know of a Beis HaMikdash, but can you imagine the people who lived through the Chorban? Can you imagine that the year before, in the previous years, what was Pesach? Pesach was Aliyah L'Regel. Pesach was having a group where you came and you sat and you had your Korban Pesach with everybody. And all of Klal Yisrael came in Aliyah L'Regel. By the way, can you imagine Aliyah L'Regel? Can you imagine the entirety of Eretz Yisrael and all of Klal Yisrael in Yerushalayim? Not a Jew in Haifa. Not a Jew in Tel Aviv. Not a Jew anywhere except in... Can you imagine the empty cities, by the way? Just try to picture Tel Aviv during Pesach. Empty. Empty. Not a person on the streets. Can you imagine what it was, Aliyah L'Regel, to be in Yerushalayim? I can't. You can't. We can try, but you can't. To be these people, imagine the people of the first Korban, or the first Gullus Jews. Could you imagine what they felt like when they sat down to have their Pesach Seder? When they sat down without Aliyah L'Regel? When they sat down outside of Eretz Yisrael? When they sat down without a Korban Pesach? It's unfathomable to me what they must have felt like, what the emotions must have been. V'hine yesh waseif tam ba'achilas matzah. He says, you know what they were probably thinking when they ate the matzah? Matzah is interesting, by the way. Why do we eat matzah on Pesach? Why do we eat matzah on Pesach? We know this, right? What? Right. Well, yeah, because we left Egypt. So what about the Yetzias Mitzrayim has to do with matzah? What? Right. They didn't have time to make bread. They ran out of Mitzrayim so quickly that they didn't have time for the bread to rise. Which means that matzah is a symbol of chayrus, freedom. Freedom. But we also just learned a paragraph in the Haggadah which said, halach ma'anya, that matzah is a symbol of avdus. That poor people don't have nice, fancy cakes and breads. They eat stale, old matzah. So which one is it? Which one is it? He says, it's both. But he says, you can imagine what these people felt like when they said halach ma'anya. You can imagine that they felt like matzah used to be a symbol of chayrus. We used to feel the freedom when we ate the matzah, but now, halach ma'anya. This is not a symbol of chayrus. It's a symbol of avdus. It's a symbol of galus. The matzah, the different meanings. And then they used to say, when they said halach ma'anya, they used to say, you know what used to be when we had a Korban Pesach? It used to be that you had to register. You had to sign up. You couldn't just go wherever you wanted for a Korban Pesach. But now, anybody, this is not like we learned a couple of minutes ago, right? This is a very different approach. But now, anybody who wants can just come join my meal. It's total hefker. There's no more structure. There's absolute anarchy. It's totally dead. You can imagine. Like we say in the keynotes that Shavas, right? The very first word of the keynotes that we say in Tisha B'Av Shavas, in Tisha B'Av morning, Shavas, everything stopped. Everything, it was total confusion and chaos and everything was, that's what it felt like. That's not Pesach. That's not what it's like. Oh, well, I mean, hey, listen, we can find the positives in it. But the truth of the matter is that the Korban Pesach, you used to be registered. You had a set group. I'm not saying to kick people out on the street. It's not like people couldn't find a group to have Korban Pesach with, so they didn't have Korban. No, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. Right? But you had your group. You ate from a certain Korban Pesach. That's how it was. That's what it was like. And so they felt so confused. Just kina. By the way, we don't think of the parts of the Haggadah like this. This shot was eye-opening to me because I never thought. I mean, listen, we understand that there's an element of avdus contained in the Haggadah, right? We start with the shibud. There's an element of servitude that we try to look at, but that some of the Haggadah represents kina was just striking to me. When I read this the first time, it was striking that some of the Haggadah represents kina. And so why is it that the Halach Ma'anya written in Aramaic? Similar to what we read in the Kobo, but a little bit different. He says, because they wanted to make sure that the people really got it. They wanted to make sure that the people felt that sense of loss. And so they explained it to them in their own language. They made sure everybody said in their own house what the people there would understand. It's similar to the Kobo, you understand? It's similar to the Kobo, but different. The Kobo was talking about other people. He said everybody in their own homes had to make sure that everybody felt that sense of loss, that sense of what we're missing and what we're lacking. And so they said it in the vernacular. They said it in Aramaic. And then the Chasam Sofer says, the Al Divrei Zeh Omer Ani Gam Ken Shenishkan Gam Ma'amar Halaz. And therefore I believe that Chad Gadya was also put into the Haggadah with a very similar mindset, with a very similar frame of mind. Likonain, to lament. We always think that Chad Gadya is a stirring, you know, joyous song. I don't know that we understood what it means, but it, certainly, right, the people who were describing that the Chad Gadya is a happy moment at the end, that everybody waits for it. Chasam Sofer writes that Chad Gadya was written as a kina. A kina. I'm not going to leave you on this note, don't worry. But a kina, a lamentation. Al achilas psachim va'aliyah liyerushalayim baregel. A lamentation, a kina, about the Korban Pesach. And about Aliyah LaRegel to Yerushalayim that we had on the holiday of Pesach. What was the purpose of such a kina? Why would I do such a thing? So before I read to you the next words of the Chasam Sofer, I want to frame this in something that I learned when I was in Yeshiva University, when I was taking the Bible, what they call Bible, in Yeshiva University. So I learned a literary tool, which I believe we've spoken about before in the past, which they call terminologies that they use, literary inclusia. It's a form of deciphering text, of understanding themes. Basically, a literary inclusio is you start with one theme, and let's say theme A, and then you move on to something different, theme B, totally different. And then at a certain point, you re-enter, or the author re-enters theme A, so that theme A includes theme B. It's a literary technique which causes you to look at theme B in light of theme A. Everyone is saying this? Let me give you an example. I think this is the example I used last time. This is the same example that I always use, right? The Purim Megillah. Megillas Esther. If I asked you who are the central characters of Megillas Esther, I'm not going to do this, but if I did, then you would probably tell me Mordechai, Esther, Haman, and then maybe fourth on the list, you would say Achashverosh. Fourth on the list. However, when you look at the Megillah, the very first pasuk in the Megillah, Vayehi b'mei Achashverosh, Hu Achashverosh, Hamolech mehodu v'yakosh, Shevet Yisrael me'amidina. Achashverosh. How does the Megillah end? The very last pasuk in the Megillah. Vayos, oh, the last couple. Vayosim Amelach Achashverosh Mas Al Oretz V'Iyayam Bechol Masay Parshar Gluasman Chashar Gidlo Hamelach Alohein Ksuvim Asever Asever something the Machiv Adayu for us. Sever the Grey Amim the Machiv Adayu for us. The Megillah begins and the Megillah ends with Achashverosh. Isn't that very interesting? And so Rabbi Angel, Rabbi Chaim Angel, the son, not Rabbi Mark Angel, the father, Rabbi Chaim Angel, the son, I learned this with him, this guy, he suggested that the literary inclusio used in the Megillah is to cause us to look at the Megillah on the backdrop of Malchus Achashverosh. So that one of the themes in the Megillah that you may not have picked up on, one of the themes of the Megillah is Malchus Achashverosh, is to understand how the events of Mordechai, Esther, Haman, how it all came to be in relation to the kingship of Achashverosh, to understand the idiosyncrasies of Malchus Paras, and to compare that to Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to see the flaws in Malchus Basar Adam, to recognize the importance of Malchus Hashem. Now that's a new scene that you may not have realized if you didn't recognize that you may have to look at Mordechai, Esther, and Haman on the backdrop of Achashverosh. Literary inclusio. And so if we can apply, Chasam Sofer doesn't use these terms, but I'll help. If we could apply literary inclusio to the Haggadah, the Magid of the Haggadah begins with Halach Ma'anya, according to the Chasam Sofer, a kina of not having the Beis HaMikdash and the Korban Pesach and Aliyah LaRegel. The Haggadah ends with Chagadya, a kina about not having the Korban Pesach, the Beis HaMikdash, and Aliyah LaRegel to Yerushalayim. And so what I believe, and this is now me talking, what I believe is what the Chasam Sofer thinks in the next words, is why do we say this kina? Leman Yishuv Hashem v'nichen l'kabi sidachenu me'arba kanfos ha'aretz, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He should forgive us, and He should bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. You see, I think that the Chasam Sofer, like we read in the very beginning, when the Chasam Sofer started his Haggadah and he read Halach Ma'anya, he asked himself a question. He said, Ma'ir Rachnu Vazeh. The same person, the Chasam Sofer. What have we gained? We're still in the Galus. And so the Chasam Sofer, I think, read the entirety of the Haggadah about Geulas Mitzrayim, about Golas Mitzrayim, on the backdrop of our Golas. The Chasam Sofer started his Haggadah and he said, we had Golas Mitzrayim, but we're in Golas now. He read the entirety of the Haggadah, including all of Geulas Mitzrayim, the Nisim and the Flows, the Makos in the Mitzrayim, and the Makos Alayav. He read the whole Haggadah. He said, Hallel for Geulas Mitzrayim. And then he came back and he said, Chagadya. He said, you know what the truth is? I'm still in Golas. And so I have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please come back, bring us a new Geula. Bring us an added geula so that we'll have, like Chazal tell us, like we have in the Neviim, Lo Yomar O Chai Hashem Asher Otzei Yisemei Eretz Mitzrayim. We should no longer say that praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for bringing us out of the land of Mitzrayim, Lo Chai Hashem Asher Otzei Yisemei Eretz Asher. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for bringing for the geula that we have now, from the geulas that we're in now. You see, I think that the Chasam Sofer looked at the entirety of the Haggadah, looking at all of geulas and geulas Mitzrayim on the backdrop of geulas that we have now. On the backdrop of us sitting in Golas now, which is why I think the Chasam Sofer, he doesn't write this, but he would have said it if he would have known the literary term, that they started the Haggadah and they ended the Haggadah on the very same note. On the very same note. On reflecting on our Golas and a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring us out of it. In the beginning we say, Hashrata Avi l'shana haba v'nei chorin, Hashrata hacha l'shana haba b'yara b'Yisrael, and in the end, we'll get to it in a minute or two because we're almost done. And in one second, Rabbi, I almost finished. And in the end, we say, "Va'asa Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'shachat l'malach hamaves." So quickly, how do I always end up doing this to myself? So quickly, let me go through the entirety of the Chagadah now. According to the Chasam Sofer's approach, I'm not going to get to read any of it inside, but I'll give you everything that he says, all of the imagery, everything that he says, so that we'll have it and we'll know it, and we can read it inside later, and we'll get to understand it better. But he says, Chagadja, it's interesting. On Shabbos, I quoted from the Vilna Gaon, but Chasam Sofer says the same thing. Chagadja, one kid. Chasam Sofer says, you know why I repeat that? Chagadja. Not only literary technique, because in reality, it's not one kid. It's two kids. Chagadja. Two different kids. Because on Erev Pesach, when we were in Yerushalayim, we used to bring two different korbanos. We brought a korban Pesach, and we brought a korban Chagiga. But then also, shun rather achol agadya. If you want to eat the gadya, you want to eat the korban Pesach, you need to be in a shunra. He says shunra is a play on words. From shurana and shirna. Shurana, to be in a group, in a nice group, to eat the gadya, to eat the korban Pesach, you have to have a group. You have to be registered. And you sing a hallel, a shirana. But you don't sing a shira on the chagiga. You only sing a shira on the korban Pesach. Which is why the Asa Shunra, the Achla, the Gadya. Only one Gadya now. Because the Chagiga doesn't need a specific group. And the Chagiga doesn't need Hallel and Hodah. Only the Korban Pesach. So the Asa Shunra, you have a group and you have Hallel and Hodah and you eat it. But then the Asa Kalba, the Noshach with Shunra, the dog comes. So Chazal apparently had this, and I don't have a dog. I'm not a dog person. I don't know if anybody here does have a dog, but apparently dogs bark, do they bark at night? Apparently. If so, only someone's coming. Alright, I don't know. Chazal had this Misora that at midnight, the beginning of the second Mishmar, the dogs used to bark, maybe in the streets, I don't know, maybe not domestic dogs, I don't know, I'm not. This is Chazal's Misora. So the Asa Kalba, the Nashach Lishunra, when you get to midnight, when the dogs start to bark, that's the end of the eating of the Pesach. When do we end our Leil HaSeder? At midnight. So it bites the Shunra. The group ends when the dogs start to bark. That's the ending of the group. But, V'asa Chutra, V'hika L'Kalpa, but that's not the end of the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. The fire on the Mizbeach continues to burn all night. Chazal say that it was a good sign when the fire on the, that when the smoke on the Mizbeach used to rise up, Kimakal, Gemara Yuma says, used to rise up like a stick. Chutra is Aramaic, makal is Hebrew. The smoke used to rise up like a stick. It was a sign that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was accepting our korbanos and would beat, like with a stick, all those who would come to oppress us. So the group had to end. The dog would bite the group, but the Asa Chutra, the Hika Lakalba, the Avoda and the Mizbeach continued to go. The fire would burn, the smoke would go up. The Asa Nura, the Saraf Lakutra, but the smoke wasn't all that we had. There was something even better than the smoke. There was the fire. The fire which came down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Eish Min HaShamayim, the fire from God had no smoke. Because it was fire from God. Wasn't fire like we make here. So the Asa Nura v'Saraf l'Chutra. So there was a fire which came from God, which would get rid of the stick. The stick is the smoke, because you have fire without smoke. The Eish Min HaShamayim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Asa Maya v'Chava l'Nura. We never put out the fire on the Mizbeach, but the Kohen every morning when he would come to do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, the first avoda that the Kohen would do in the Beis HaMikdash was the Trumas HaDeshen. The Trumas HaDeshen, the Kohen would come to the Mizbeach and he would take off some of the ashes. From the Mizbeach. And so he would remove some of the fuel that was burning on the fire. He would put more on, but at first he would take off some of the ashes. V'asa Maya, before the Kohen would go on to the Mizbeach and remove some of the ashes, kava lenura, put out some of the fire. Before the Kohen would put out some of the fire, the first thing the Kohen did was he washed his hands in the kior. V'asa Maya, the Kohen, so maybe he's stretching a little bit, but V'asa Maya, the Kohen who washed his hands before doing the avoda, would come and remove some of the ash from the Mizbeah. He put out a little bit of the fire. But V'asa Sora, V'asa Sora V'shasa Lamaya. And if the water is representative of the water from the kior that the Kohen washed his hands with, apparently, Chasam Sofer, I didn't know this, Chasam Sofer writes that they used to, I didn't check the Mamari Chazal, they used to feed the animals that you brought for korbanos. They used to give the animals to drink also from the water of the kior. So V'asa Sura V'shasa Lamaya. We used to have animals in the Beis HaMikdash that used to drink the water from the kior. And then va'asah ha'shochet v'shachat l'sorah. And then I said surah again, surah. Va'asah ha'shochet v'shachat l'sorah. And then we, the people, used to shech the korbanos. We used to slaughter the animals as korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shechita is kosher bazaar. Anybody can do shechita. A kohen doesn't have to do shechita in the Beis HaMikdash. Everything else a kohen. But anybody can do shechita in the Beis HaMikdash. The shochet is anybody. The shochet could be anyone. Can you see what it was like to be in the Beis HaMikdash? All of the things, the avoda, the aliyah, the regel, how beautiful the avoda was. But va'asam al hamades the shachat the shochet. But we find ourselves now again in a period of galus. We find ourselves in a period where we're not standing in the Beis HaMikdash and bringing those korbanos. Where we don't have these groups to eat the korban Pesach. Where we don't have the korban Pesach. We don't have the chagiga. We don't have the smoke on the mizbeach. We don't have the fire coming down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have the kohen washing his hands with the kior. We don't have the korbanos that we're feeding the water from the kior. None of this we have anymore. But we end the Haggadah with a prayer to the future. V'yasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shachat l'malach hamaves. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove the Malach HaMaves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us back to the Yerushalayim. We will yet again have Aliyah LaRegel. We will yet again have a Korban Pesach. We will yet again have a Korban Chagiga. We will yet again have a Kohen washing his hands from the water of the Kior. We will yet again have the smoke and the fire on the Mizbeach. We will yet again have Korbanos in Yerushalayim. Korbanos drinking the water from the Kior. V'yasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shachat l'malach hamaves. And the Chasam Sofer saw at the very end of the Haggadah a prayer to the future about our galus which we find ourselves in now. That's how we end the Haggadah. That's how we start the Haggadah. That's how the Chasam Sofer saw the entirety of the Haggadah on the backdrop of the galus which we are in now. Mi yitain, we should be so lucky to see that day when V'yasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shachat l'malach hamaves, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shech the malach hamaves, like we say at the very end of Magid, we should see that day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes, Kein Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring us back towards the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring the Geula for us, as He did for our forefathers so many years ago when they left Mitzrayim. Everybody should have a great day. Thank you very much for coming.